Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Christian community at Philippi. We'll be reading chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, verses 17, and we will read through chapter 4, verse 1. And it is found on page 1024 of your Pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Brethren, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Today we are caught in the midst of two seasons. One, we are caught in the midst of the political season. It is a presidential year, and we have had to suffer through that for the last several months. And we have still several more months to go. Presidential campaigns are becoming increasingly painful to watch, but we are reminded of both our privilege and our responsibility as citizens of this country to participate in some way, whether it's voting or some other way. It's part of our responsibilities as citizens of our country, our great country. But for those of us in the church, this is also the season of Lent, the 40-day period before Easter minus Sundays, when we are asked to take stock of our lives and consider what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I like the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi that we just heard. Because Paul is reminding the church not to put our minds on earthly things, but to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. It's important to understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, because Paul is often misunderstood. And so when Paul talks about being a citizen of heaven, we need to be clear of what he is talking about. When we think about being a citizen of heaven, we usually think that what Paul is emphasizing here is our destination, where we are going. We think what Paul is emphasizing here is that when we die, our souls will go to heaven, because that is where our real home is. That is where we belong. There's a little song that we used to sing in the little church that I grew up in. It went like, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me through heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." That's the way many of us feel sometimes, and there's a kind of rightness about that little hymn As God's people, as citizens of heaven, we are people who do not feel at home in this world. But Paul is not saying that because we are citizens of heaven that we are to have nothing to do with the world. He's not saying that we should have our heads in the clouds anticipating departing this world to go to heaven. When Paul says that we are citizens of heaven, he is not emphasizing our destination or talking about where we are going. He is emphasizing where we are from. He is talking about heaven as the place that gives us direction and orientation. Paul, remember, is writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And Philippi was a city on the far-flung frontier of the Roman Empire. It wasn't founded by Romans, it was actually founded by Greeks. But 200 years before the birth of Jesus, Roman citizens, primarily retired Roman soldiers, came and settled in the city and built it up. And these Roman settlers and their descendants saw themselves as proud citizens of Rome. That's how they identified themselves, proud citizens of Rome. And when they called themselves citizens of Rome, they didn't mean by that that they were planning on going back to Rome sometime in the future. What they meant by that was that Rome was where they were from. It was what they brought with them to Philippi. They brought with them Roman architecture and Roman law. They brought with them Roman administration and Roman coinage. They brought with them Roman language and Roman culture and Roman values. They were an outpost, a colony of Rome in the far-flung regions of the Roman Empire. Anyone coming to the city of Philippi from the imperial city of Rome would have felt right at home, because the city had been transformed by Roman citizens into a little colony of Rome. So being a Roman citizen was not about where you were going. It was not about where you planned on ending up. But it was about where you were from. It was about the values that helped to shape and form you. Several years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was contacted by someone from my alma mater, Missouri State University, and they informed me that they were going to be here in Philadelphia, and they had gotten in contact with all of the alumni here in Philadelphia and in New Jersey, and they were going to be meeting at the DoubleTree Hotel in Center City, Philadelphia. And so I went. And we were all there. It was about 25 of us, good Missourians, people from the Ozarks. And we represented an Ozarkian community in the big city of Philadelphia. We were citizens of Missouri, of the Ozarks. And there in the DoubleTree Hotel, we were a small community, a small colony of Ozarkians, of Missourians in the city of Philadelphia. It was about where we were from. It was about the values that had helped to shape and form all of us, about the school that has prepared us and educated us. But it was where we were from. And that's what Paul wants to emphasize to this little Christian community that is in the city of Philippi. Paul is writing to this little Christian community that lived in Philippi. It was probably only a handful of people, but they were near and dear to Paul's heart. Paul had helped to found the little church in Philippi, and now he is writing to tell them not to set their mind on worldly things. Don't live, he tells them, the way that everyone else lives. Don't value what everyone else values, but remember where you are from. You are the people who are from God. You are the people who are from heaven. You are people who have been born again, people who have been born from above, people who are born of the Spirit. You are a little outpost, a little colony of heaven who are called to bring heavenly values and heavenly living wherever you are. That's what Paul wanted him to understand. To be a citizen of heaven was to be a colony of heaven here on earth. And that's true of us as well. We are first and foremost citizens of heaven. That is the most determinative thing about us. And to be a citizen of heaven is not about looking forward to departing this old world someday. We've all heard the adage about being so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. But for Paul, to be a citizen of heaven is not about having our heads in the clouds, impervious to what is going on around us. Rather, it's about bringing the values of heaven, the values of God, to bear in the world right now, so that things can be done here on earth as they are in heaven. It's what we just prayed about a few moments ago when we prayed the Lord's Prayer. We said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that prayer we prayed is about us. It's about you and me. It's about us citizens of heaven. We are the ones who are called to implement the will of God so that things are done right here on earth as they are in heaven. We are called to live the values of heaven right here, right now, in this time and in this place. Now perhaps you're wondering what that looks like. What does it look like to live as citizens of heaven in the midst of the world? What's the shape of the heavenly values that we citizens of heaven are called to bring to bear in the world? What does it look like? We know what it means to live as American citizens. We know the values that we hold dear, values of freedom, values of equality, values of democracy. But what does it mean to be citizens of heaven? What does it look like? Well, for Paul, the answer was simple. It looks like the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul has already shown us that in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. He has shown us the example of Jesus himself. Paul reminds us that in Christ Jesus, even though he was equal with God and in the form of God, he didn't exploit that. He didn't claim that. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of human beings. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And because of that, God has exalted his name higher than any other name, so that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Paul wants us to understand that that's what it looks like to live as heavenly citizens. That is what heavenly values look like. It looks like the cross. It looks like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It looks like humility, not puffing ourselves up. It looks like obedience to the will and the ways of God. It looks like sacrifice for others. It looks like serving one another, especially those who are the most vulnerable. It looks like love and forgiveness. It looks like all of those things. These are the patterns that identify people who are the citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven are not those necessarily who know their Bible by heart, though that helps. You can tell a citizen of heaven not by the fact that they go to church every Sunday, though that helps. You can tell a citizen from heaven not by the fact that they can proclaim what is true and doctrinally correct, though that helps. But you can tell a citizen of heaven because they are the ones who bring a little piece of heaven with them wherever they go. They are the people who pour themselves out for the sake of God and for the sake of the world. But one of the things that broke Paul's heart, and something that I'm sure that breaks the heart of our Lord as well, is that there are Christians who, Paul says, live as enemies of the cross. That is, they live their lives in ways that conform not to their heavenly citizenship, but they live their lives in a way that conforms to their worldly citizenship, to the world around them. Instead of humility, their lives are characterized by arrogance. Instead of obedience, they do what is popular, what seems right to them, whatever it is they want to do. Instead of sacrificing for others, they do and look after their own interest. Instead of serving others, they're more interested in being served. Instead of love, their lives are characterized by a desire for power and dominance over others. Paul says that their real God is their belly. And when Paul talks about their belly, he's not talking about food. He is speaking of self-indulgence. He is speaking of their concern only with their own lives, only with themselves. They're supposed to be people who bring heaven wherever they go. They're supposed to be a colony of heaven. They're supposed to be people who show in their lives the heart of God, but instead they're only concerned with themselves, with their own lives. And it breaks Paul's heart, because Paul knows that to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a citizen of heaven, is to be people who pour themselves out for others. It is to be people who pick up their cross, who die to self, and open their hearts to God and to the world. Paul tells us to stand firm. Those of us who are citizens of heaven that we are to stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in our values. Stand firm in a world that is often characterized not by giving, not by pouring ourselves out, but in a world that is often characterized by affirming our rights, looking after our own selves, insisting on our own way. That's often what it means to be a citizen of the United States now. Affirming our own rights, whatever those rights may be, whatever we might deem those rights to be. Our right for a tax cut, our right to bear arms, our right to be left alone, our right to be able to walk down the street unmolested, our right to get married to whoever we choose, our rights. Looking after our rights, our right to consume. It's all about our rights. That's what it means to be a citizen of the United States. Our rights. But Paul reminds us that we have a larger identity, a deeper identity as Christians. And it is the fact that we are citizens of heaven. And because we are citizens of heaven, we are the people who are not preoccupied with our rights, but we are the people who are preoccupied with bringing heaven to bear in our world. We are the people who are preoccupied with loving others and with the interest of others and with the right of others. Paul reminds us that as Christians, we are to stand firm in that. Paul tells us that we are being transformed. We are a community of citizens who are being transformed because we have a Savior coming from heaven. And that Savior is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one who will transform our body of humiliation into a glorious body. But Jesus is our Savior. He is the Savior of the whole world. He is the Savior that we citizens of heaven are waiting on, waiting to redeem us, waiting to redeem the world. Paul wants the little community in Philippi to understand that. And he wants the citizens of Rome to understand that as well. For many first century Roman citizens, the Savior was the emperor. The emperor was the person who could save. To be saved was to be a part of the Roman Imperium. To be saved was to be in favor, to have the favor of the emperor. Only the emperor could save you. Only being a part of the Pax Romana can save you, could save you. And Paul says, no, what saves you is being a part of the kingdom of God. What saves you is being a part of the kingdom of heaven. What saves you is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has come to show us the heart of God, the one who has come to show us the values that can really redeem us, the values of love, the values of compassion, the values of reaching out to one another. That is what can save us. And so as we continue to live in our current season, our current political season, where our would-be leaders and emperors promise that they can save us if only we give them our votes, that they could save us from what we fear, that they could save us from lives of meaninglessness, that they can save us from economic distress, that they could save us if only we assert our rights and put our faith and confidence in them. We heed Paul's words. Do not put your heart on earthly things, because that's what it's all about. They are about earthly things. Anything that turns our heart away from one another, and anything that turns our heart away from God, are earthly things. Anything that causes us to be preoccupied with our own selves are earthly things. Anything that causes us to fear other people who are different from us are earthly things. Anything that causes us to be indifferent to our neighbors, especially those who are the most vulnerable, are earthly things. Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven. That is where we are from. That is the orientation that guides us, that shapes us, informs us. It is the orientation of love and compassion. It is the orientation that goes with us wherever we go, and it should be with us in whatever we do. We are citizens of heaven, and we bring that peace of heaven down with us now, for the transformation of the whole world. Looking forward to that day when heaven and earth will come together and the presence of God will be all in all. We are the people who already are bringing earth and heaven together to the glory of God forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us of who we are. You have reminded us that we belong to you, that we are people of heaven, citizens of heaven. But to be declared such does not mean that our concerns are away from this world that you created and that you love. But it's an invitation to embrace the world all the more and bring your love, your healing to this world. We ask that you empower us with your Spirit as we continue through this season of Lent, that you give us the courage and the power to follow you and to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you help us to be agents of transformation so that we might truly live as the people that you have called us to be, citizens of heaven. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.